Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Yo, what's good, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Fun With Dumb. It's been an exciting month. It was Asian American Heritage Pacific Month. I don't know why our shit is so fucking long, but it is. And to close it out this month, I got a very special guest, a friend of mine, who's a Renaissance woman, if you will, who is an illustrator, artist, model, actress recently, new yes. to acting, right?
Yes, very new.
Yeah, her name is Lauren Tsai. She's done it all at a very young age already, been in a reality show to being on some scripted shit and collabed with some of the top brands. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for such a wonderful intro.
Yeah, making it real formal after just hanging out, grabbing dinner, barbecue,
grabbing
all that
dinner.
Shit.
We already talked about everything, so.
We did. I know. We got to act like we just didn't talk about that. But yeah, I mean, you just recently moved to Los Angeles. You lived in Japan.
Yes.
That move must have been interesting because you were in Japan for so long at such a young age working out there too, right?
Yeah, I started working in Japan when I was 15, but I was just going there for the summers because I was still living in Hawaii and doing like the normal high school thing. So I would go to Japan over my summer vacations and do modeling there. And then when I graduated high school, I decided that I was going to move there full time. So that is...
Yeah, but you're not Japanese.
I'm not. I'm half Chinese, and then my mom is mixed European.
Yeah.
Caucasian white.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you got your start over there, and a lot of people probably think you're Japanese or something too, right?
Yeah, a lot of people, they do think I'm Japanese because I was based in Tokyo, but I am half Chinese.
Yeah, and you were, like, part of, you know, shows that were very Japanese based.
Mm-hmm.
You were on Terrace House, and I'm not really familiar with the show, but I did watch it just after hearing that you're on it. So I watched like the first episode where everyone's doing the intro.
Is it the one that's the Hawaii season?
Yeah, the Hawaii season.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, were you on another season too?
No, I was on the Hawaii
one. Okay, yeah, the Hawaii one. And it was interesting because people, like my friends are obsessed with the show, and I was interested in like why people are obsessed with it. It seems like a very wholesome version of like a more ratchet American reality show, like in the house. Is that what that is?
Yeah, like normally when people talk about the show, they describe it as the Japanese Real World.
Right.
But it's completely different.
Yeah.
And I think that the charm comes from the pacing of the show and the way it's filmed and just the emphasis on everyone's normal everyday lives.
That's true.
As opposed to, you know, reality shows over here where it's focused on just making the most ridiculous scenarios.
Right.
And
it does have more of a candid feel than the American reality shows.
Yeah, I think definitely it stays very true to the people's everyday lives.
And the commentators, like, it's like really...
Oh,
like,
that's the best part.
We're like
in the
living room with relatives or some shit, like talking about...
No, it's the best.
Talking about their, like, niece and nephews or something. It kind of has that feel a little
bit. Yeah, it's crazy because you get to watch the show and, you know, do the commentary with your friends and then watch the commentary. So it's like double commentary.
Right, right.
You get to do commentary on the commentary.
Yeah.
It's fun, though.
Yeah, that was interesting because, I mean, for you, that was... Probably you were already modeling at that point. This was your first TV thing.
Yes. Yeah, so I went on to Terrace House when I was 18.
Yeah.
I applied for it when I was just finishing up my senior year of high school. I found like the application on Facebook and I moved to Tokyo because I was going to like move there and do modeling. But then when I got accepted on the show, I moved back to Hawaii to film that. So I had been doing modeling, but just over the summers when I was going to Japan and kind of trying to make something happen with like Instagram and trying to, you know, build my following there. But it was, it's hard and it's hard to get people to notice you in that space. So,
yeah. And I mean, we were talking about this earlier, how you were kind of generally shy when you were younger, right? Coming up.
Yeah.
And then jumping into a reality show is like That's the complete opposite of shy shit, you know.
Yeah, it was crazy, and I'm there was another time in my life though when I did something like that. When I was 14, I went to boarding school in Massachusetts a year, for my freshman year of high school, and I think that
it's like Boston or what?
It was in Concord. It was this place called Concord Academy that I went for 1 year, but I ended up going back to Hawaii for the rest of high school after that.
How's that boarding school?
It was crazy. Like, boarding school is
Terrace House, Massachusetts.
I'm really glad that I did it because I think that it was a very special experience to be able to live with a bunch of kids age 14 to 18. There were a lot of people who were coming internationally, people from different states that I would probably never have the opportunity to meet otherwise. It was a really wonderful time. It was very emotional, I think, because I still was figuring out so much about myself. I'm still figuring out.
Like, young, but, like, alone, without, like, parental figures.
There were, at each, like, house, there were people that, like, stayed there, and then the teachers were very helpful, but there were also the day students, too. So, like, half the kids at the school went home every day.
Oh, okay.
And then half the kids were boarding kids who were, like, living there. And then we went home for, you know, vacations, and some people who lived like an hour or two away, they went home for the weekends.
So you're generally used to like living in different cities and different countries or moving around?
I guess so.
When you went to Japan, like, was that a culture shock or?
I was someone who found out about Japan and like the culture of Japan and through online.
Were you into like Japanese culture?
I was really into because I've always been really into art growing up, and for me, drawing was like my favorite thing ever since I was a tiny kid. So I started to get really into animation, and when I was discovering more animated movies, I stumbled upon Ghibli.
Right.
And those movies just really touched me, as I think they do for a lot of people. So I started to get more into Japanese animation, Japanese comics, and that led into, you know, fashion and cuisine and all these different parts of Japanese culture. So I definitely had this fantasy about going to Japan, and that it was going to be this whole new world of like people living in a completely different way and a different type of art and music. Yeah. And
so it must have been fun. Like,
it was wonderful. I was really excited the first time I went there, and I think that feeling of adventure was what led me to moving to Japan.
Yeah, and even like the Japanese model work and the scene is different, right?
Yeah, I think it's very different culturally from the States, just like the way that the modeling industry is. There's definitely like two parts to modeling in Japan, because there's like the foreign models who come to visit Japan and do short-term stays. And then there's, you know, Japanese models who are Japanese or people who are foreign but in the domestic industry, which is, you know, it's their full career and their life.
Right. And you were talking about those like super huge model shows, like runway shows, where it's like massive.
Oh, yeah,
you told me about that. What are those all about?
There's this thing called Tokyo Girls Collection, then also Girls Award. You should check it out though on YouTube or something. But there's these shows in Japan that are just insane. There's like 30,000 people go to them.
It's the Coachella of modeling.
Kind of. Okay. Yeah. But there's like musical performances and there's actors. So it's like if you had like a runway and then there was like every top model and like some top actors and top singers, and like everyone was wearing like one brand. Like everyone was just wearing like Gucci or something.
Oh,
and then everyone like maybe like Diesel, because I don't think like Gucci ever would. It's more like that kind of brand
or something.
A lot of domestic brands. But and then it's a really long show though. It's like 4 hours long because they have musical performances. There's sponsored content, but it's really fun because that's one of the things I love about Japan too, is the culture of like the fan culture over there is really involved and really passionate.
Yeah.
And people would show up to see their favorite models walk, and that's just an incredible
like the fandom thing. Of the models like that exists.
There's it definitely does. I think in the States, I can't say for sure, because maybe some people are really dedicated to the models that they like and follow, but I think more so in Japan they're seen more as personalities. Because it's not it definitely there is like the visual aspect of it, of course, but it's a lot to do with personality and being on talk shows and being in like the same magazine. So like models will do one magazine and they'll be like signed to that magazine.
Oh shit.
So
that's good. How was like, cause you are now making a lot of noise as an artist too. A passion that you've had for so long, and even before, you know, it was like, it wasn't a business for you or anything. And, yeah. You know, has that transition from being a model into that have been like, it was it a different journey in a sense, you think, if you weren't a model, like, you know, fusing in both kind of brands in a way?
Yeah, it's been a wonderful journey, to say the least, just to be able to, you know, reconnect to what I've been so passionate about my whole life. And I think that,
and it seemed very natural too, like,
yeah, I think for me art is it's what I use to understand my life for my whole life, and it's what like really makes me feel connected to myself. And I realize that through sharing my work with the world, even if it's something that's so personal and vulnerable to me, that's what's going to connect me to other people too.
Right.
But I always thought growing up that art was something that was going to keep me indoors and behind a computer screen and far from everyone. But I think that through, you know, putting myself out there as myself, I've learned the power of being vulnerable, and that
right.
in that is the only way you're going to find the right people.
Well, a lot of times I feel like in the entertainment industry with modeling, acting and all that, there's a lot of wait time with in between projects for, yeah. you know, that gets shared, you know,
yeah,
whether
sure.
it's a release. So it's always nice to have something else that's like keeping you busy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I'm not talking just a job or anything, but just to keep you busy and mentally like sane and passionate about things. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm getting into acting and, you know, doing radio stuff and all that.
Yeah.
But in between, I'm so grateful I have music, and I don't even consider that to be like a yeah. financial thing. It's just like something to keep me busy and sane, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how did you transition into actually having that aspect for you,
yeah.
you know, make an income off of that? Was it like people just seeing it on Instagram as you were sharing it?
I think a lot of it is due to sharing stuff on social media, because I think that that is one of the best ways to get your work out there nowadays. But it was a very slow process, because I remember I did my first big illustration job when I was 18, just coming off of, maybe I was 19 at the time, when I moved back to Japan after the show, and I did this like big mural in Osaka for this department store.
Sick.
And
yeah.
that was, I remember, because I was working on that. I moved to Japan and I was living in like this really tiny like model's apartment studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like no furniture. I had like a futon on the floor and like a tiny desk, but I had a lot of art supplies. And I was working on this job between doing modeling jobs and other things that I was kind of managing by myself. And I did everything in watercolor, and then they scanned it and printed it onto these huge windows. So I went down to Osaka to visit it when it was up. And the feeling of like seeing, you know, my world that has always felt like something that I never wanted to show people, because I had been, you know, so it was just such a personal thing for
right.
me. But to see that like there on those walls in front of people, it really it sparked something in me, I think, and that's a feeling that I've wanted to pursue ever since then. It was a feeling of like totally being outside of myself and feeling
right.
so connected to the world, even though it's something I did, you know, in my room by myself.
Yeah, no, it feels crazy, because like in the last 2 years or so that I've been following you, like just when the artwork just pops up, you know, that you decide to share or whatever, it's like, oh shit, this shit is like, it's good.
Oh, thank you.
But I think like, I feel like as I've seen also, the transition of you sharing it and then people responding to it, like it was just like snowballing in the way
yeah.
people were actually wanting to collab and brands started coming, you know, because it like you've worked with a lot of big brands in the last 2-3 years, and that's pretty much kind of the beginning of when your artwork was getting real public too. So it's all happening at the same time, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, it was
that could be a little overwhelming for anyone, you know?
It definitely was overwhelming at times, because I think that, you know, when you put yourself out there and when you do things like that, you do like, you know, your struggles and like the things that you fight with artistically, they do grow with you. They never go away, and I've been so grateful to be able, are so lucky to be able to be able to do what I love and what in my work. But yeah, it's been a crazy journey. And sometimes, like, honestly, a lot of days I'm just sitting, like, in my apartment, in my bed, staring at the ceiling, being like, this is not real.
No, I mean, literally in the last year, you've collabed with Marvel, Marc Jacobs, you know, and you put out your own sketchbook, published book, pretty much. You know, that's what that is, yeah. You know, and that's fire. That's so tight.
Thank you so much.
Like, your whole collection with Marc Jacobs was crazy. And thank it wasn't you, like one piece. It was like a gang of pieces.
Thank you. That was it was one of the most fun jobs I've ever done.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really.
How long does something like that take? Like it's a collaboration like that where it is, you know, multiple pieces. You know, we're talking like more than 10
that
things,
was,
right?
I think there was 11 items in total. But we started. So I went out to New York to actually work from their office last February or March, and I was there for about 2.5 weeks to 3 weeks ish working with them. Some of the work was work that I did before going there, but then a lot of it was stuff that I did on the spot, just to try to, you know, to see it on the products and to see what would make sense. And then it came out in October, so that was the timeline for everything.
Did you go to college for art?
No, actually, I never went to art school. I was going to go to art school. I had applied and I got into the college that I had dreamed of going to for my whole life, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember because I had been doing modeling in Japan and focusing on other things, it came, you know, it was senior year, and it was like, oh, shit, like, I have to figure out what I'm actually going to do with my life. Because it wasn't like modeling was doing so good. I wasn't doing so well in modeling,
feel also
and also
secure.
I didn't feel like that was me. It just kind of felt like it was some feeling I was pursuing.
So
but
it wasn't like an end all, even if you were like, okay, I got this contract.
Yeah,
it was
for
you
sure.
Didn't feel like secure, like this is gonna be my life for the next whatever years, you know?
Yeah, but it was weird because I struggled with this feeling of like I loved that sense of like adventure and going to a country in which I had no connection to build something for myself, but I knew in my heart that like I couldn't not be an artist. But I knew, too, that when I got into this school and when I was really thinking about it, because I thought about it for a long time, like, shit, what am I going to do? Am I gonna actually go to this school and, you know, stop everything in Japan and just kind of, you know, just go down that path instead? But I realized that a lot of the reason that I wanted to go to that school was because it was hard to get into, and because a lot of people kind of told me that was... like if you got in there then like, oh, then you've made it, and like that's good, and people with my, you know, people around me would be proud of me.
There's
the
stuff that's going to be on paper that you can show and be like, okay, I have this at least.
And I felt like I had to be honest with myself of like, okay, but this is a 4-year commitment, and it's like if I don't start living for myself today,
right,
I never will. And I know it's not the smartest option. It's not the safest thing. But I think I'm going to move to Japan.
It is smart in a way, because you were thinking very strategically that a lot of people before considering college don't think about, you know, because we do think college is the safest route, you know, and it works for certain people. But I don't think we can say it works for everybody. And there are different approaches to it. But you do have to plan. You have to be strategic.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel, you know, extremely lucky to be in a situation in which I have that option. But yeah, I kind of really felt in my heart that it was my duty to myself to give it my all, to try to make what I love into a career and see how that goes first.
So making a career out of art was the ultimate goal.
I think, my ultimate goal was I wanted to express things and feel things and that was kind of what I pursued. I didn't know exactly what that was going to be, because I did like doing modeling and I like the performance aspect of it, and then now doing acting I kind of figured out through trying a bunch of different things. So I think what I'm truly passionate about is to express something and kind of storytell, no matter what that format is.
At one point, I'm curious, with people who paint, illustrate, like when was the first time you felt comfortable like sharing your art publicly? Because this is an interesting question, because for me, when I was growing up, I had to get the nerve to step into like a cipher and start freestyling with everybody else, you know?
That
and
must have been crazy.
Yeah, it was, but it was kind of a little less nerve-wracking because there was less cameras. It was kind of like a spur of the moment thing. Yeah. So you don't have to revisit that through footage. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a little hard, less
hard
to do that now.
Yeah, nowadays everyone whip the iPhone out. Yeah.
But that was great, the fact that you can have this incredible night of jamming with people and freestyling with each other, and then that's it. You don't have to rewatch, because when you rewatch, it doesn't have the same effect ever, you know? But with illustrations and paintings, like, yeah, you're about to share it, like, especially on, like, social media. Like, when did you feel like, okay, I'm going to put it out there and see what people...
I had been sharing my work online since maybe I was 11, but I did that anonymously, and I had, like, this account on... I had a YouTube account, right. I had a DeviantArt account, but no one knew it was me. And I think
There was no picture attached to it.
Yeah, no one knew if I was a male, female, how old I was, where I lived, like, nothing. It was just... And I loved that. That was my safe space, basically, was I could share anything, I could be anything.
Shout out to DeviantArt, pretty OG website for artists, for sure.
My heart. Growing up, literally, like, in middle school, there was a long stretch of time, maybe the entirety of middle school and then part of high school, where I was terrified of showing anyone in real life my work because I felt ashamed of it. And I actually felt embarrassed that I was drawing, because I was very interested in dark things, and I was drawing a lot of gore and a lot of, like, dragons and creatures, and I was like, that's not, I don't know why, but I just told myself that that's not cool, and, like, no one's gonna like that. Right. And you
thought that was, like, the more nerdier, like, drawing, illustration. Yeah. What would be a cool drawing, though, at the you know what I mean, like,
well, I don't know, I think I just had a lot of self-confidence issues, so I think that no matter what I drew, I probably wouldn't feel okay with sharing that with people. But then I started to share my work online, which is, like, really my safe space. Yeah. No one in school knew, like, what my accounts were or anything. And then after I started modeling, though, I started to slowly use Instagram and slowly let myself be okay with me putting my artwork out there.
So
modeling
helped a lot of the confidence part of it too.
Yeah, I think what modeling did for me too was to show me that it's always okay. Like, I, you know, people have said everything to me, not everything, but, you know, in modeling you get judged by the way you look, by just everything, so you're able to learn that it's okay, and people will always do that, no matter how you act, no matter who you pretend to be. If you're true to yourself, if you're not, people will hate you and people will love you. So you know, you gotta just do you and let that be enough. And so I started to put my art out there online, and I started to connect with some more people. But then really the first time I, like, publicly showed my work was when I was on the reality show.
Right.
And I did this gallery show at this little cafe called Arts Cafe in Honolulu, which is wonderful. And if you go to Honolulu, definitely check it out.
That's cool. It was like a local.
I DM'd them because I really wanted to. I was like, okay, now I think this, like, I'm ready to, like, you know, because I was on the reality show too. And I just felt like if I would be okay with showing my work to that large of an audience, then I knew that was something that I wanted to overcome and that I wanted to
the reality show, that's a huge audience already.
It was an incredible time of getting to, like, be close to people and to push myself. And
but that's cool, because when you're on the reality show and you're just drawing one morning, it doesn't feel like I'm about to share my art with, like,
people. I think, like, the first day we were filming too, I was drawing in the morning, and then they were like, okay, we're gonna film now, and I was like, oh my god,
right?
But you know, when you become okay with showing the world yourself, then you really become okay with yourself.
That's true.
That's the only way to do it. Like, if you're scared of something, it's because it matters to you.
Yeah.
If you can tackle that, you really become stronger.
And I did see that scene where he walks in on you in the morning, and you're like, wow, you're really good. Like,
and I'm like, oh, I'm just scared.
Yeah. He's like, how long have you spent on that? You're like, oh, just this morning. And he was like, oh shit. Like, that's
wait.
Like, are you generally pretty fast with your art? Like,
I think that. It depends, definitely, but if I'm just sketching, like, from my mind something that I like, it can be really fast, like, you know, 15 minutes, 30 minutes.
Because I had Jim Lee on here, and he mentioned that he was, like, really, he's fast, you know, when it comes to just drawing. That's one thing that, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot, I mean, we see a lot of artists, but I think one big thing about just art is, you know, not to think about it too much, you know. Like, even Kenny talks about the don't overthink shit, and that's real, like, in the studio.
Oh, yeah, in the podcast, yeah.
Yeah, with music and art, it is, the one we block ourselves, you know, when we start thinking too much. I call it analysis paralysis, you know, like we stunt ourselves and you never get anything out. You wait 10 years to make the perfect album, and what you don't realize is like you're never gonna make the perfect thing to please anybody, so you might as well not please them now, then later on wait 10 years.
You know? And it is so important to be stupid and to make mistakes, but I think that social media nowadays too, like we're constantly surrounded by people being successful and we're comparing ourselves, and it really paralyzes you, and you know, you need to mess up, and you need to make things that don't always work. But yeah, with, you know, if you're not living in today, living off the feeling that you feel right now, and you're stuck worrying about the future or something you did in the past, it's just this non-ending circle you're running.
It's true though. I think when we make a mistake now, it's not even a mistake. You're just canceled. You're fucking done. You know,
that's one thing I don't.
People love seeing, like you just being done. They don't want to see like the comeback. Yeah. No, I mean, there's not like that rooting for the comeback anymore.
Because you know, people go to the internet to escape something in their lives, right? Because you're going there for entertainment, because you're bored, or you're going there because you're mad and you want to prove something, or you like genuinely like you're trying to connect to family. But I think that for me, I've tried to like separate myself from the criticism online, just because it's something that will always exist no matter what I do, whether I feel good about what I've done, whether I put out something I don't believe in. Like, I think that people are always going to, you know, anything that someone says is because they want to put that out there.
What kind of criticism would you get like off of something like a reality show? Like, I'm just curious, because it's I always get curious about how people find shit to hate on. You know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, I get it. If I put out a whack song, it could be like, fuck, this song sucks, you know? But if I'm watching, like, the reality show, and you're generally, from what I've seen on, your personality's not, like, wild or anything. You're not giving off, like, a weird energy or anything. Like, I don't. So, like, I'm curious, like, what are the things you've seen?
I mean, I'm definitely not, like, a loud, out there, wild person, but...
You're not the Snooki of Terror's House or anything.
But I think that, I mean... Because, you know, I'm just a person. Like, I'm just a normal ass whatever. I'm just a person. So, like, I've gotten a lot of, like, DMs and comments, and, like, there's, like, online things about it, too. But I think that, what kind of, I mean, like, just, like, in me not being genuine, or me being, like, things that I've said on the show to other people, things that how I've acted and what that must say about me. I think that people, like, when you put yourself out there on a reality show, I mean, you're putting yourself out there to be judged, but not just, I've learned it's not just a reality show. It's like in anything you do, whether it's Instagram or Twitter, but
they just don't, they don't have to like you. With Terrace House, like, besides it being like the Japanese phenomenon, like, I think it really blew up when it got on like Netflix and American market.
Yeah.
Cause I started hearing about it, and they were just like, oh, it's like Real World but Japanese, and you watch it just has a complete different vibe. But like, did you see like that kind of transition? Because obviously it blew up in Japan, you saw like fan base come in, but like that the American cats coming up to you being like, I saw you on Terrace House, was that like a weird transition?
It came out in Japan, I think maybe like 2 months or 3 months after we started filming, and I think it came out in the States not that long after that. Maybe it was like after, I'm not even sure now. I can't remember, but it came out not too long after. But it was crazy to like be in my hometown in Hawaii and have people come up to me, because a lot of people in Hawaii watch the show, because, you know, there's not a lot of like Hawaii Five-0, that's about it, but there's not a lot of shows filmed over there. So it was, I mean, it still is, like, if people recognize me, it's a really crazy thing of like, wow, that they watch, like, I can't believe that show like reached this audience of like that, these it's really wonderful though. I'm happy.
That's tight. I always love a good success story coming out of the reality TV space. it's just like, because, you know, it could get pretty wild in it, and then there's few people that came out of reality TV that kind of killed it. Jamie Chung,
she's a huge
She's in like superhero shit too, like The Gifted or something, right? She's on that show.
Yes.
Yeah, which you are about to be on a TV show that's gonna air in literally weeks from now.
Yeah.
And this is your first ever scripted TV
yes,
debut.
Yes, this is my first. Yeah. This is my first time doing scripted acting. Besides, like, no, I did a short film with my friend Julian, who's wonderful in Tokyo. He's like a French filmmaker. But this is my first time doing like a TV series.
Right,
like
right.
This. Yeah.
And this is the show called Legion on FX. It's a Marvel yes. series, comic book series. And did this connection come from you illustrating something for Marvel? Like, this was like last year.
It's interesting because it was actually,
I mean, this past year.
Completely unrelated.
Oh, wow.
Actually, the showrunner and people were kind of surprised too when I told them, like, oh, actually, it was kind of like, oh, that's cool that like that you did that. But
they're
it
just
wasn't,
like, oh, that's.
Or like, well, it's. I think that people thought that was a really cool connection, but
right.
It wasn't like, oh, who's because this person that did
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like, oh, yeah, look at this girl who illustrated this. Should we just throw in her audition?
That would be easy if that
right,
was
right,
the way.
Right, right.
But I got the audition from my agency, and that was actually around the time of the Marc Jacobs collection release. So
mm-hmm.
I was at the event, and I remember that they sent me this audition, and this was, one of the first auditions, because I did one audition for a movie before that I didn't get, and then this audition came through, and
You self-taped for it, right?
I self-taped on my iPhone. I went in, and my friend and I, we just taped it on my iPhone and sent it in, and then Noah Hawley, who's the showrunner of Legion, he responded well to it. So they asked me to do another scene. And then I taped that with my mom, actually, who was visiting because of the Marc Jacobs stuff. And
is your mom a good reader?
She's good. She's good.
Yeah, okay. Because, you know, like, I've self-taped a lot with friends who are like, but all my friends that are down to self-tape, they just don't give me enough passion on the other end of it. So, like, I can't get into the scene.
It can be hard. And then, like, also it's hard, too. I feel like it's hard when you make eye contact and they're kind of like, hey, stop.
Right.
You can't go down that path.
Right, 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 right. You got to really bring in the zone. Because sometimes it could be very monotone the way they read back
yeah.
the thing, you know? But that's cool. So you self-taped. And,
yeah, I self-taped.
This is a crew of superheroes, and you your superpower is what?
Time travel.
That's kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of the most one of the most powerful things, because you could change the fate of what happens.
Well, I hope that you watch the show.
Yeah, no. yeah.
But it was wonderful.
You loved the role.
I loved it. I loved everyone who was like working on that team. It was just because doing modeling in Japan and doing illustration from Tokyo, I think it was kind of hard for me to really connect with people and have really close relationships with just anyone, because I was always traveling. I was always working with different people every
mm-hmm.
day. You know, if you're shooting like 12 hours a day with a different team every day, including weekends, except some weekends, then
right.
it's just hard to settle and actually
yeah.
have that. So it was one of the greatest experiences, because I really to be able to get that close to a group of such passionate, talented people was truly, truly inspiring.
I feel like, especially when you get into a project that already is like a subculture,
yeah,
something like comics, right? Like
yeah.
you're already marrying into this huge fandom that exists, you know. Like, there's conventions about these things,
yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I went to Comic-Con. That was
yeah.
crazy. And we did WonderCon
like,
for the show. It was crazy,
it's
too.
It's like a big, like, announcement stuff, like meeting the cast and things like that, right?
Yeah, that was so fun. We did WonderCon down in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the same convention center that I did DesignerCon at, because
yeah.
I went to DesignerCon, like, as an illustrator to
right.
sell prints and stuff. So that was really cool to be there for a TV show, because a lot of my friends were there and had booths like as artists.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you have anybody coming up asking them to sign like the cover you did for like Miss Marvel and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, actually, I did. When I was doing DesignerCon, a lot of people brought the Captain Marvel
cover.
Or
I said Miss Marvel.
It's okay. She's cool
like,
too.
Like Mrs.
Same,
Maisel.
You did another title, but yeah.
The Mrs. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel that you illustrated. No, I'm kidding. The Captain Marvel cover you did.
But they were bringing that, and some people brought my book, and it
yeah.
was
that's cool. So yeah,
it was great.
It's kind of like a crossover for you,
man. It's
yeah.
just been like a crazy
yeah.
couple year and a half or 2 years though. But it's really like I've been crying a lot. I've been crying
just
so much.
Emotional shit.
You know, like happy crying or like emotional.
Like get it
just,
together.
No, but like seriously, dumb. I cry like twice, three, four. I'm not even gonna try to count. Like it's going up, but count. I've been crying.
Well, that's good. Like you're crying like, tears of joy, like overwhelmed.
Yeah, there was
like,
this time when this girl was telling me like that she really connected to the book or something, and I just had this flashback of like me sitting in middle school, with my sketchbook, feeling like. Like just ashamed and not ashamed, but just feeling like that was not cool. And like, but just to see that something that was so personal and like emotional for me could help me connect to someone else in that capacity, or that someone would like my work, that felt that was just really from my heart. I'm moved a lot.
Well, I think one cool thing about you, and that's what a lot of young girls maybe get inspired, is that it's kind of happening in real time because you're still really young, you know what I mean, in the game and even in general. Like, you put in the work, just preparing yourself on the craft side, not focus on the business thing, and all that stuff just came natural after you've honed in on the craft, you know?
It feels like I'm constantly learning on the job because I have a long way to go in terms of artistic ability, like technical ability. You know, there's so much that I would love to be able to draw and I want to learn how to do, but... it's been a true joy to share that journey with people online. And I think that's why I love the internet, is I think it can really be a place where you're finding inspiration and a place where you're connecting to others. But, you know, somewhere along the line, for me at one point too, it turned into this terrible place where I was just comparing myself to people and I was just, it was not the kind of relationship I wanted to have with the internet.
Right.
But now that I truly see it as a place where I can, you know, I'm lucky enough to be able to share my journey with people. It's great, and I love anyone that is coming along on that with me.
Yeah, you've been moving around a lot from Japan to here. You lived, you know, Massachusetts. You said Hawaii. Like, what could you see yourself living in the next 10 years?
I would love to live in New York one day. I was there briefly after high school for maybe like a month and a half or so, because my dad lives in New York, so I was there with him for a while, and then I visit and I go there for work quite often. I'm actually going on Tuesday too, but it's a special city, I think, and I would love to.
Yeah, I met you in Korea.
Yeah, we met in Seoul. Yeah, yeah. We met at a now closed club.
Now closed club, which we don't speak of anymore. And there's mad cool club. The club scene out there is nice, you know, and we have mutual friends and. I go to usually the type of clubs that are more just like cool DJs playing. It's a little smaller, not like mega clubs, which they also have there. It's like Costco clubs.
I live for the Costco clubs. It's so fun because I feel like I can just like separate from myself completely and just be in this mass of like sweaty people who don't want
flash photography
taken of them. And
I do feel like when I met you at the club, like you were definitely into it. Like you were just in the club, living it.
We were into it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. I was into it too.
It was a good night.
It's cool because I feel like I don't go to clubs a lot in the States, you know? Yeah. So when I'm out there, I'm like, oh, whatever, I'll just do it.
I've never been to a club in the United States of America.
Ever.
I went to that place at the Roosevelt Hotel once.
Right.
But I was only there for like 30 minutes and...
That's
that
more
a
like
a...
No,
is
it's
that,
like a never, pool and a... Yeah,
yeah, I've never been to like a club in the States, like One Oak or something.
Right.
Maybe I should... Maybe that's my next life journey.
Some of my goals in 2020 is go to a club.
Trying to go to One Oak.
Nah, I've heard that exact tone from One Oak.
I feel like I'm
going
to grow. I'm going to, yeah.
You're killing it. You could play an LA person.
That's
in
a dream
film.
Of mine.
Is
a
that
dream.
What you're
gonna do? I would love to.
You were blonde recently too, so you're ready
I
to go
blonde.
Full on.
I was blonde. I just let it be known that I loved being blonde.
Right.
I did.
No, I mean, you're a model in Los Angeles. You got to go to clubs. That's how it works. So like you want to do more acting?
I do, definitely.
Yeah.
What
kind of roles do you want to play? Because there's all types of acting, comedic roles and dramatic roles, and they are two different things, you know?
Yes. I'd love to try anything, I guess. I think, like, when I see a project or, like, an audition, I get to read the script. It's really, you know, if you feel, I feel like, because I have, like, no experience, so, like, there's basically any type of role I feel like would be somewhere where I could...
right.
really learn and put myself into it. And but I'm really interested in doing more within the fantasy space, just because that's right. like, I think that's one of the coolest things about film and TV is you get to go to these other worlds.
Right.
But I really love stuff that's that feels extremely grounded in reality and very slow paced.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to be in some sort of a drama like that.
Yeah, your illustrations are very fantastical.
Oh, thank you. So I've been obsessed with, dragons and creatures and wolves and fantasy, and I think that's the world that my mind feels comfortable in and lives in.
So we're talking like Game of Thrones prequel or spinoff situation. I was saying this earlier that Game of Thrones should have just had a couple, like I'm not one of those guys like, where the fuck the Asians at a Game of Thrones? Like, it's fine. But it's fine. I was just thinking one or two Asians. I'm thinking dragon trainers, like the ones who train the dragons. You know what I'm saying?
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I'm just saying. We could have, because they were getting out of control. The dragons were getting out of control. And then I think, what if, like, Danny was like, yo, I'm going to hire a dragon trainer. These Asian cats come in.
Yeah, it would have been cool if there were Asian people on the show, definitely.
We have a close connection with dragons, Asians, and I just felt that would have been the perfect opportunity to throw a dragon trainer in there. We're talking about this. I mean, we're not going to talk about it. Obviously, you can't reveal it, but there's things that you're already auditioning for.
Yeah.
And then already kind of things are moving.
Some projects I'm involved with now that are really I can't wait to tell people about.
And it seems like the stuff we've been talking about, like a lot of the projects you're getting involved, it's like it's not so far removed from this world that you've been involved in artistically, I feel like, which is kind of cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. The project that I'm really deep into right now is completely about, me as an illustrator, and I love it. It's a collaboration with another artist to kind of help to make something with them. And it's been such a, I keep saying it like, it's been such a, whatever, but I'm learning so much just from like listening to their story and listening to their team and everything. And, I'm learning, I'm growing up, learning things, but I love it.
Have you thought of attaching narratives to some of your illustrations and creating your own stories,
Yes, that is my ultimate goal, is that I would love to be able to create my own movie one day. It's like been a dream of mine since forever. But if I was able to
write a feature?
Yeah, if I was able to write a feature and do something involving animation and my characters, I would love to, because I feel like I'm finally coming to the point where I'm okay with sharing, my characters and stories with the world. And I think that I want to do that.
Yeah, you are doing trying out a lot of things. I feel like the only thing you haven't done is rap. Or sing yet.
I'm embarrassed. Were you
there? Is there a possibility
karaoke?
Of a Lauren Tsai rap or singing album?
Oh, you missed it at karaoke. I had a rap scene.
The recent karaoke. I didn't know you went off. I must have stepped out for a second.
Maybe you still. I don't even remember, man. But okay. It was.
I don't remember a lot of things.
I had a moment.
That's what's up. Yeah, you were saying you love karaoke. We talked about this. You love karaoke.
I do. I love karaoke, and I think. I went a lot in Japan, like with my friends. I never went by myself, but that's the thing. Like a lot of people in Japan go by themselves to karaoke.
Right. No, Korea does that too.
So, okay, cool.
I was saying this like to a lot of people, like singing audition and singing shows in Asia are like not a joke. Like people are really into it.
They're really good too.
Yeah, they're
super good. Like,
And that's because they go to karaoke alone and literally use it as a practice space. Like,
yeah, that's where they're at.
There's a lot of rooms in Asia, karaoke rooms, that like it's like a booth that fits like one person too. They don't have that a lot here in America, but in Korea, these karaoke rooms aren't just party spaces. They're just like literally rehearsal spaces for one person.
That's
cool. It's like a photo booth,
Oh, really? Like that small?
Yeah, that small.
I think I've seen that one time before.
Yeah.
Maybe at like a mall or something.
That shit's crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy, but now I know.
Now
I know why.
That's why we produce greats like William Hung, who come onto American Idol and kill that shit. No, I'll get off.
William Hung, the man of this generation.
Shout out, William. I saw him recently at a spot.
You know him?
I don't know him, but I just took a picture with him, and he wrote a book. And his English is like perfect now.
Wow.
Before he was like, he wasn't, he had a little accent, but like I think he's been in America enough where he's just like sounded perfect.
Oh, he's just
he almost
LA
had
dude.
An English accent
an
for no reason. No, kidding, kidding. No. Yo, that's what's up, yo. I'm happy for you. You got a lot of things going on, and it's, you know, you've been working since you were young on this, but in the last 2 years, the opportunities have come, and that's when like success happens, when opportunity and preparation meet, and it has met. In the last 2 years or so, and I don't know why I'm fucking going into this motivational, inspirational space and shit.
Do your thing, do your thing.
But yeah. No, we're getting lit off the kombucha right now. But yeah, no, I'm stoked. We're definitely gonna be chilling more in Los Angeles since you are here, and all my homies have moved to LA in the last year too. It's like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you're enjoying it out here.
I love it. I really do. I like living in LA. I think that it's just a great, it's where exactly where I want to be right now for what I want to do. And I love, you know, the friends that I have here. And I think that being in LA has led me to a lot of incredible opportunities. And I think that, you know, living in Tokyo, I had a lot of hesitancy about coming to LA. But, I mean, if you're not there, it's not going to happen. So you really have to take a leap of faith. Because basically, like, before I moved to LA, I would spend all my money just to, like, get flights to LA so I could stay here for a week to try to like start meeting people and try to like slowly like make something happen and like build a community and like get myself and try like find an agency, which I ended up finding and like all that stuff. But yeah, you just do it.
Just do it. I like that slogan. We should run with it. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right.
All right. Anyways, Dom.
Yo, thanks, Lauren, for coming on the show. You're welcome anytime. Lauren's side, look out for Legion on FX. And yeah, your book did really well, your sketchbook.
Oh, thank
I
you.
Purchased a copy, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I have I had the other man, I didn't bring it.
Are you gonna try to put out another book too?
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to. That project is the most personal project I've ever done. And
was it like it was from a Japanese publishing company.
Yeah, it's from a Japanese publisher.
Okay, cool.
But it's basically just my personal sketchbook, and that's kind of the thing that moved me the most to be like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm gonna be as honest about my feelings and who I am as I can, because I don't know, I'm just done trying to be something I'm not.
Yo, if you want to check out some of these honest drawings, go to at Lauren Tsai. Wait, do you have an art account too?
I do have an art account. I gotta be more active on it though. I've been not posting that much recently.
Yeah, because you post your art on your personal joint too.
Yeah, sometimes I do. It's weird how I choose it too, because it's kind of like whatever I'm feeling. I'm like, I need to put something on my main. But
right.
I've been working on a project though where I can't like show anything, and that's like all the drawings I'm doing. So, it's been a little quiet over there. But
no, I'm stoked to check out you on FX and see you in a different space.
Thank you, Dom.
Thank you very much. Time traveler. Okay. Shout out to Lauren Tsai. Thank you for coming on the show. Tune in next week for another episode of Fun with Dom. Comment below what guests you would like to see.